Greetings. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Greetings. Overcomers.ca. The Epistle Mysteries, Chapter 13. The Mystery of God, Anointing the Mindset. Scriptures. For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Colossians 2:1-3. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swear by him that liveth for ever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again, and said, Go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel, which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. Revelation 10:4-8. Now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the 4th month, in the 5th day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river of Chebar, that the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. Ezekiel 1:1. And above the firmament and over their heads was the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone, and upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above upon it. And I saw as the color of amber, as the appearance of fire round about within it, from the appearance of his loins even upward, and from the appearance of his loins even downward, I saw as it were the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about, as the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. And he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered in unto me when he spake unto me, and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day. For they are impudent children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God. And they, whether they will hear, or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns be with thee, and thou dost dwell amongst scorpions. Be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. And thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear, or whether they will forbear. for they are most rebellious. But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth, and eat that I give thee. And when I looked, behold, a hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein. And he spread it before me, and it was written within and without, and there was written therein lamentations and mourning and woe. Ezekiel 1:26-28 and 2:1-10. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power, and his seat, and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. Revelation 13:1-9. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light. And the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Matthew 24:29-34. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Romans 8:7-8. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Sion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written on their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps, and they sung as it were a new song before the throne, and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb, whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the firstfruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. And there followed another angel, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, If any man worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. Revelation 14, verses 1 to 10. End scriptures. Two visions. First vision. Standing then upon the edge of the paved work, I could see the Lord. His face was filled with indignation. Before him came forth a great ball of fire, a white light, immense in size, which proceeded with great speed out before him and into the cosmos, where with perfect precision the ball of fire smote the dragon upon the head, thus delivering to it a deadly blow. However, because men's hearts are filled with iniquity, and man does evil continually, the dragon's wound was healed, although the scars remained. End vision. Second vision. I saw the Lord above in the minds of those who would overcome and who would take on the perfect image of Jesus. Their minds were emptied of both that which was in the world and that which was of their fleeting knowledge of God. Instead, their minds were emptied, but made pure as the Lord began to touch the minds of those who would obey his word. Made pure so they would know the difference between the Lord's thoughts and their own. This was a transitional process, one that took time to be done and was long in the time needed for this process of being made pure in thought. Every other thought, whether vain or otherwise, had to be put down, and every other thought that was fleshly and carnal had to be discerned and set aside. All of this was the act of overcoming, and also the avenue by which the knowledge of God is attained. End vision. End two visions. One of the most curious things about the mystery of God is knowing God, rather, knowing his true location. The psalmist said, He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. Psalm 103:7. God purposely hid himself from the view of man and of his creation for a very specific reason. That is because he instituted the time of bondage for this creation, headed up by the carnal mind, which mind he would not be known by. God is hid from this creation so that carnal minds cannot know him. For the overcomer, this becomes a great challenge, because the overcomer has a dual mind. Their mind is set in this earth and set on the things of God. But like Moses in the verse above, the overcomer just doesn't follow after the acts of God. The overcomer knows the very personage of God. The Lord becomes discovered by them, and that discovery is unto their own lives a sweet savor of his presence that nothing can disrupt. At the present time, the only way to know the mind of the Lord is by walking in the Spirit. In my life, I have learned the difference in what I term walking in the Spirit and walking by the Spirit. When I walk in the Spirit, I can know fully the mind of the Lord in all things, being filled up to the sum with his presence, know his faithful love and tenderness, and his power to save and to carry my life even into the full measure of identity with him. But if I walk by the Spirit, I can be deceived. For when one walks by the Spirit, you'd use whatever understanding you have to measure God, to be as a ruler or gauge to determine whether or not you're right in your footsteps. That measurement you'd use to walk by the Spirit can be deceptive if the measure is done by your incorrect interpretation of God. If you base your knowledge of God upon that which you perceived to be correct doctrine, when in fact that doctrine was incorrect, then you have a perverted walk, a walk that becomes a rule of religious effort, a walk that causes one to become vain in their faith. We have come to a horrendous time in world history. Man has walked by the measure of what they interpret God to be, or what they think God wants. Because this fails constantly, the things of God have been, for the most part, forsaken, and God is cast aside in favor of man, making his own rule and his own supply for daily life. Men have become lovers of their own selves, all because they gauged their walk in God by what they thought of God, not by his Spirit walking in them. It is to the overcomer that I would address the difference. For the overcomer is the one person in the world who has learned through much tribulation to not walk by the Spirit, but in the Spirit. All those who walk by the Spirit are doomed to utter failure, which God in tenderness will one day correct. But all who walked in the Spirit will succeed and will be granted the overcomer's crown. All this comes by a correct understanding of God. Now in the mystery of God, he is not known or perceived by rule or measure, but by walking in the Spirit. You cannot attempt to understand what God is wanting of you as one of his creatures if your understanding of God has been tainted by incorrect doctrine. Nor can you please God if you are listening to false teachings and prophecies. One learns to walk in the Spirit when they intelligently abandon their lives unto him, committing unto him the keeping of their souls, knowing that he will not fail them. This abandonment is rather peculiar. It is an abandonment done while the candidate, desiring to be found perfect in God, is fully clothed in the armor of the Spirit, sword drawn, fully awake and aware, and listening very carefully to the witness of the Spirit in their own lives. In our day, there are very few who stand this way. Most have forsaken the truth of God and have received strong delusion so that they might believe a lie, but not the overcomer. They know that God must still be waited upon. He must be brought to the forefront in their lives in such a manner as to be waited upon, even if that waiting takes the rest of their lives. This is not a reckless abandonment and adherence to every wind of doctrine that blows by, but this is an intelligent abandonment. Intelligent because there is one confession in the thought of the overcomer that is real and is true and cannot be denied. That thought is that in the overcomer's mind, there is no affinity with anything in this world, while at the same time, the true location of God is still very much a mystery. The true overcomer has a mind that does not fit in the world of men, nor does it know where the Lord is located. Their minds are in a flux, a void, a space of time and distance that is not filled, a mind that has no forward gear or backwards pull. Such a mind is the mind of they that would overcome. If you are one who has learned to walk in the Spirit, you are also one who does not perceive with their natural mind the true location of God, nor has any enjoyment in this present natural world. You are indeed very peculiar. Here is the fact of the matter. Walking in the Spirit is an act of God upon the vessel abandoned unto him, but it is a walk that takes much time to work out. It is a walk that defines your understanding and compels you to abandon all that is of this present evil world. The true walk in the Spirit right now in this very hour will not have you building a system or kingdom for yourself. Rather, the true walk in the Spirit will have you to become more and more separated unto God by the Holy Ghost, because God is beginning to judge the earth. How do you know if you were walking by the Spirit? Ask yourself a simple question. Is my gaze fixed solely upon the Lord alone, waiting for him, loving him, worshiping him, and praising him for all things? Ask yourself another question. Do I concern myself with the shakings that are happening around me in the world, or do I abandon all of those things in favor of keeping my eyes on Jesus? And yet another question. Have I laid down all that is in me in favor of his life instead? As you do ask yourself these questions, the Spirit of God will arise in you, and that which was a mystery to you as to the true location of God will be a mystery no more. God will become real in your very spirit, joined unto you as one, joined as it were in spirit and soul, emotions, and you will simply wait for that joining to also be in your body as well. For those who have done this questioning of themselves will partake of the first resurrection and will emerge in this world in glorified bodies. I will give you those three questions again. Rather, the true walk of the Spirit, you'll have become more and more separated unto God by the Holy Ghost, because God is beginning to judge the earth. So here's the first question. How do you know if you are walking by the Spirit? Ask yourself a simple question. Is my gaze fixed solely upon the Lord alone, waiting for him, loving him, worshiping him, and praising him for all things? Now the next question. Ask yourself another question. Do I concern myself with the shakings that are happening around me in the world? Or do I abandon all of those things in favor of keeping my eyes on Jesus? And the third question. Another question. Have I laid down all that is in me in favor of his life instead? Think on this. The world is rife with insurmountable problems because what they have gauged their lives to be was instead a fallacy. Allow me to repeat that. Think on this. The world is rife with insurmountable problems because what they gauged their lives to be was instead a fallacy. Man has reverted to vain imaginations and has built for himself kingdoms and structures, which makes just one more Tower of Babel unto his own wisdom. This is the very world that God is now beginning to judge, and this is the same world which you will, with your own eyes, see shaken as never before. So much so that nothing that is in the earth is going to survive this shaking. It is in this world, in this time, in this place, that the lowly overcomer who learned to simply walk in the Spirit will emerge in a glorified body full of light and glory. Bodies in which the unmeasured weight of God himself will be placed in infinite scope and power, and by which all men everywhere will have no question that this is indeed God that is appearing in the earth. Very suddenly, these who learn to abandon their own thoughts for his thoughts during the time of their earthly sojourn will appear on the world scene. Nothing in the earth will survive the revelation of this little troop of people. No one anywhere will be able to refute the fact that this is indeed the presence of the Ancient of Days in their very midst. No one in the earth, thus suffering the loss of all things because of the judgments of God, will be able to refuse the fiery sword of judgment that will come through this company of overcomers. Right in the middle of man's religious effort of walking by the Spirit and not in the Spirit. Right in the middle of man's commerce, right in the middle of man's politics, shall this little troop appear, and everything will be destroyed because of them. You think the devil is out to destroy this world? Wait until you see God's destructive power through the overcoming company, those who walk in the mind of God, not their own mind. Mankind will never again come near to their own rule or power or authority. The entire system of men will end abruptly, even in the space of one single hour, all by the obedience of these who first learned to walk in the Spirit, not fulfilling the lusts of the flesh. There is an end to the shakings. There is an end to the judgment of this world and of the cosmos itself. The full display of redemption wrought in the Lord Jesus Christ will be known by every single person, and this will be by the lives of they that became saviors, like the chief savior. Listen very carefully to this, dear reader. This is a clue as to the nearness of his coming in first resurrection power. If you read Revelation 14:1-10, you will note the order of this. First, the overcomers are seen as the government of God, the 144,000. Then the true gospel is delivered to all nations. Then the final judgment. So what, pray tell, will happen first? The revelation of the Lord's overcomers. The very first act God will do in the mystery of God will be to reveal those who have become God-like, those who have taken upon themselves the fullness of his very person without measure in glorified bodies. Then the preaching of the true gospel. Jesus restoring all things back unto the Father, then the final judgment to end the curse of the fall of Adam. That is the order that this will take place. Do you think this is far off? Think again. The Lord is about to appear in a company of little ones, those who became as little children, but who stand as mighty warriors. Those who lost the duality of their minds by patiently waiting and who inherited all that came with the first resurrection. For you, dear reader, are very much one of these. To be continued, Kenneth B. Vischer.